say, just a note on this episode of the Blood Bowl Tavern, there were a few moments when the recording cut out. We've covered the silence with the sounds of a mariachi band. I hope you enjoy. Hello and welcome to episode 8 of the Blood Bowl Tavern. I'm Stu Backer Stu and I'm joined here tonight by White Horse Chris and Eldritch Fox Ollie. How are you doing, chaps?
Very good, thank you. Are you doing well?
I've had a bit of a lurgy, but I'm getting over it now. Talking about Blood Bowl will definitely fix it, I'm sure.
Always does.
Indeed, indeed. Unfortunately, Bearded Lucha Stu couldn't make it tonight due to a family illness. We will miss him, but we'll catch up with him soon, no doubt. If he were here, he would tell you to go and get your painting commissions from Squiggle Studio. I will ask him to put all the information in the show notes because I don't know off the top of my head. But Ollie, I think you've had a team commissioned by him. Is that correct?
I've had two done now. I've had my Amazon and something else. Chaos team done. Chaos Chosen. And very pleased with both of them.
Jolly good. Jolly good. If I'm slurping a bit, it's because I've got a hot drink to help my throat. So we've all been to quite a few events recently. I guess we should start talking about them. The one that was longest ago was the Easter Bonnet Bash, which was the 30th of March, I believe. It was Easter Saturday, which we ran in, and you were TOing, Ollie.
Yes, it was a really fun day. With a special guest star, the Easter Bunny, the actual Easter Bunny, turned up in person, and we spent the day distributing.
I was starstruck.
Yeah, most people were. We had, I can't remember, how many people did we have, 20-something?
22, maybe, something like that.
Something like that, 22 players, a nice variety of teams, some people I haven't met before, which is lovely. I think everyone really enjoyed it. So it was, a fine way to spend Easter Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. So we had a special star player who was Fluffy, who is basically a bunny version of Acorn, who could lob chocolate Easter eggs. I didn't actually come across him.
I think you'll find Acorn is a squirrel version of Fluffy.
My apologies. I didn't actually come across him in my games, unfortunately. I hope he played well and was fun. I know you only got to play one game yourself. Was he in that game, or did you see him being used anywhere?
He was not in my game. I know a couple of people took him. I think he's a custom star player I would like to add to future events that we run. He seems quite fun, but not overpowered in any way. So
And it'd be quite nice to have a star player who plays in all of our events as well.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And now we have the star player card and the miniature, so why not?
Exactly. And we all have minis now, so it's a good excuse to get it painted up and used.
Do you have to hand who won what? Or shall I look it up?
I can get that to hand easily enough. Don't worry. So from your point of view, how do you think the event ran overall?
Lee, for us, it's cheap to hire, it's got a bar, parking free of charge. It's a little bit run down, but it doesn't matter. We're just sitting there playing games. It's tidy and warm. So what more do we want, frankly? I think four games is too many for one day. As I've said privately, Stu.
We had this discussion.
I think for one day, three is enough. It's because of we are down right down on the south coast. It's quite far away from most other people. So people come down and play. I think three games is more friendly to them, but you know, I might be wrong. That's my opinion on it. I think the lovely Easter dice, the Black Hawk Down made, were beautiful. I really, really like those. We do have a few still knocking around, which, you know, might be able to sell on for the right price.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. I might have to, someday I could make this one, so I might have to hit you up for that.
I'll put a pair aside for you, no problem. I think it feels quite a long time ago, even though it's just
it less than a month. Yeah.
I wouldn't personally wear a 6 foot bunny costume all day long anymore. Again, it was quite a challenge to wear it, but there we are.
Yeah, I can imagine. So I've got the winners in front of me. So Darren Howling Griffin won the event with Vampires. He won all four games. I watched a bit of one of his games just because I want to play Vampires soon, just to try and steal some tricks. And it's basically hypnotize everyone, so that your opposition can't do anything. Which, to be honest, I might have worked out for myself. But it was nice to watch him, and he's obviously a good player. So, the runner up was Eyeball Paul playing Lizardmen. I played him in my final game. He utterly took apart my Necromantic team.
Rightly so.
Very well deserved. Yeah, very well deserved second place for him. He also got most touchdowns. Some guy called Chewbacca managed to get most casualties somehow. I was playing Necromantic. I think I got all of my casualties pretty much in the first couple of games. I only got one against Paul. And then the Stunty Cup was Lachlan, who was playing Goblins. The most important award of the day, though, was the best bonnet, which was hotly contested, I feel. Which of those
ears? Because he somehow had lit up Easter eggs on there, or it was
I think
he basically made a battery pack in there and gone to town.
Yeah, it was the technology aspect that swung it. We got Mini Morgue to help us adjudicate that one, basically the only child in the room. And so, yeah, he was obviously swayed by the bright lights. Children often are.
Yes, absolutely.
It was quite a while ago. So,
yeah, as I was going to say, every team got a special play card from the team decks that games have been releasing. So I do that again. So I would remove certain cards, but some cards were considerably more powerful or less powerful than others. So I would go through each deck, break out cards that allow you to have a certain level, for example. And because it makes that one game too swingy. So, you know.
I guess it's not something that we tend to play with often, so we don't see them and we don't really know what each pack holds, really.
No, but next time they'll be amended slightly. But anyway, there we are.
It's a nice idea, though, to use part of the official Games Workshop product that doesn't get used much.
Yeah. Yes, and I think... used correctly, can add flavour to games without being too overriding, you know, if you understand. It's a dash of salt rather than a cup of soup. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something else. Apart from that, it was a great day. I quite enjoy running Blood Bowl events, as you know, and no doubt we'll be running another one at a similar sort of time next year, though not on Easter weekend, I don't think.
I think people are quite busy on.
Apparently, they've got family responsibilities and things that are more important.
Weird. They've got their priorities on, haven't they? But okay.
Indeed. What's the event after Easter Bike Bash?
So there was two the following weekend. So myself and you went to Global on the Saturday, and then Chris had the Bromley Sevens on the Sunday. As Chris hasn't said anything for a little while, I was going to suggest that he talks about that one first.
That's a good idea.
So we had Sevens on the Sunday. So we don't normally run events on Sunday, so it's quite interesting to do that. But it was cool. Troll Trader managed to extend the opening hours for us a little bit, so we could fit four games in on the day. So we had 14 coaches in the end. I had the bright idea of printing off a Sevens pitch. I don't have enough Sevens pitches really to use, and I try and provide pitches where I can. So I had the bright idea of printing off a Sevens pitch I found online from that website, actually. And it was only after I got them printed and they were delivered that I realized they had the old kickoff table on them. Not too much of an issue, really. The night before, I was quickly finding the new sort of kickoff table and printing off little sheets so I could hand those out on the day. So that was a nice, unneeded, necessary bit of stress the night before. It was all fine. Four games on the day. There wasn't anything terribly different about the rules pack. I think we had three skills. It was flat. There was no tiers. So it was three. Were special plays to be achieved, so you could do the objective each round. You could achieve, so things like having a player surfed and that type of thing, usually stupid plays, things you don't really want to do, rush three times in a turn, all the things you really shouldn't do if you can avoid it, those sorts of things for bonus points. And the four games. So we had even numbers, so I didn't have to play the first round, but unfortunately one coach had to leave for family reasons after the first round, so I ended up playing rounds 2, 3, and 4, which did make my day a little bit busier than I'd expected. It wasn't too bad. So my goblins came out of the case, and surprisingly, they did okay. I ended up with two draws and a win with the goblins, which was mostly just two trolls and a bunch of goblins keeping everyone busy while a pogoer just bounced around, going and getting the ball and running into the corner, basically, which is my basic tactic. So that went surprisingly well for that. But yeah, other than that, generally everything went okay and was fine. Had a slight hiccup with the best painted prize award right at the very end, because the first two teams that it was going to go to, they'd not painted their teams. But they were very good about it, and they messed up and said, no, we haven't painted them. So we eventually found a best painted team in there. Yeah, so that was good. So we had ultimately Total Fuzzy Logic, Luke, won with his Norks. Then we had Kendrell Sharn with Elizabeth came second. Stunty Cup was James with his Halflings. Mind you, there was only really one Halfling team that was eligible. Stunty team that was eligible. My Goblins really not being eligible for prizes. We had Graham Tomlinson with most touchdowns, Super Tom with most casualties, and then El Destructo with his Amazon team, best painted. So it was good. It was, as I said, yeah, it was a bit busier than I expected to be on the day. But it was fun. It was a fun event, and everything seemed to go okay. And I think everyone enjoyed the day. I'm somewhat biased when I say that. So it was another good day.
Cool. Goblins are surprisingly good at Sevens. I'm sure we'll come on to it in a bit, but I got taken apart completely by some goblins last weekend. I guess it's it's like they are in 11s, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess that's it. I think the not being hit on the line does help quite a bit, and not being susceptible.
Helps a lot, yes.
And you can hide away, especially like in my case, I had a couple of trolls and goblins. So mostly if people were going to blitz, they were going to have to try and either hit the goblin in the middle and pair off the trolls, and then you sit next to trolls. So they're surprisingly survivable in Sevens a bit more. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Did you take,
yeah, no, yeah. I was quite surprised. Goblins are probably my least favourite team to use, so I was pleasantly surprised when they were doing quite well. That was good. It's good fun.
Did you take any secret weapons with your goblins?
No, I didn't. No, I was. Oh no, did I? Did I take a fanatic? I haven't got my rest here, unfortunately. Did I take a fanatic? I think I took the fanatic as well. Yes, I did. I took the fanatic as well. But he was just going up and down in the middle. I always find and I'm not an expert goblin coach at all, but I always find the fanatic is the fun one, the go-to one, creates a bit of randomness for me.
He creates an area that the opponent doesn't like to go near. Which you can exploit a little bit. In a similar way to a demon does. He would have been near that area on the pit.
Yeah, definitely. And I certainly found as well the narrower pitch with the two trolls and the fanatic, obviously while he's still on the pitch, is quite useful then with a bunch of goblins running behind. I'm not saying it was skill at all. There were, some nice dice in there, and my opponents, lack of reroll is something in sevens predominantly, isn't it, where you just roll that double skull or the one in nine or that one, and then it's the quick turnover. A lot of teams don't have the redundancy that they would normally have against you.
No. And lots of dodge help because you're not really facing much tackle.
Absolutely.
I think what we're all saying is goblins are the best team in the game.
In sevens, I could see there's an argument for sevens about how they are a useful team. In elevens, absolutely not. They're absolutely great. But there we go.
Anyway, okay, moving swiftly on.
Yes.
So that same weekend, me and you drove up to Swindon to play in Global, which was at the Thrud venue with Thrud rules, basically. It's a tester event, I believe.
That's correct, yes. We went to the Marine Rugby Club just outside Swindon. There were about 60 coaches, I think, roughly.
It was a
really good Sunday out.
Yeah, it was. So you took goblins to that, didn't you?
That's it, because as has been noted, they are the best team in the game. Flood rule set was very friendly to goblins, and that I could take plus agility pogoer, I could take block on both trolls, and I'll take a block mighty blow. Fanatic, a dirty player, chainsaw. It was filthy, utter filth. And
just the way you like it. Yeah.
And just the way I like it, absolutely. Do you want to talk through one game at a time, or shall I put my games and then we can do one
round at a time? Let's do a round at a time. I took a half goblin team. I took Black Orcs. And with Guy Mir, the Thrud Ball Star player, who was a lot of fun. I had some three Mighty Blow and three Guard Black Orcs, along with a Shorehands Goblin and a Sneaky Kick Goblin. And I was playing my first game against a lovely guy called Tiki, who runs a league down in the West Country. I want to say Bristol, but I might not be quite right. And I think he runs one online as well. And he took my Black Orcs pitch clearing his corn very, very well. It was from about turn two, it was pretty obvious how the game was going to go. There was two of his strength plays, whatever they're called, in the casualty box turn one. And it just snowballed from there, really. I ended up winning 4-0 because I was able to start two drives where he had only one player on the pitch. So I kicked to him and then ran down and nicked the ball. But the game's over in probably under an hour. So I got to have a nice chat with him, and he's a very lovely guy. But it was not really much of a contest. unfortunately. I'd like to play them again in the future when hopefully my dice don't absolutely destroy him straight off the bat. But yeah, it was from my point of view, it was a very successful game.
Well done. It's a tough matchup for Corn Black Orcs. I've played it a couple of times, and you struggle to get the strength advantage with all the frenzy hits that you need. But yeah, well done you. My first game was against a guy called Tantaloup, who's the real name escapes me for the moment. He was running that.
I think it was David, I believe.
I think yes, well done. I think it was, yes. Necro, nothing particularly special about them. And my goblins went to town on him, basically. And what did he have to do to stop me scoring? He had to do one dice block on a blocked roll, needing a POW or a defender stumbles, that his zombie could then go for a blitz a ball carrier, obviously, which will work. And then he took the ball back and scored. I scored again, and then we just ran out, you know, weren't enough turns for me to score a second, sadly. So I finished 1-1, and I think I did 6 casualties, maybe 7 casualties against the Necro. It was glorious. I finished my round one was a 1-1 draw, and the goblins were behaving very, very well. Round two, you're going to do your round two?
Yeah, so after winning 4-0, I figured I'd be somewhere high in the rankings and have to play someone pretty good. I ran into Fatboy Slimin, who has previously won Thrud Bowl. So knows what he's doing, but I think he's had a bit of a break from the game, and he was slightly unfamiliar with some of the newer rules. He had Chaos Renegades, and the game started out the opposite of my previous game. So he casualtied 2 Black Orcs in the first turn or two, and I was almost going to take a photo and go over to Tiki and show him that karma had hit me. Gaimir was pulling his weight, so I managed to I basically focused on his big guys, and I managed to knock down and then foul off the pitch in consecutive turns, maybe, or a couple of turns apart, his Rat Ogre and his not his ogre, so probably his Minotaur. So them leaving the pitch really helped. But I was under quite a lot of pressure. He scored. I managed to equalise in the first half, but he put a lot of pressure on me when I received. His Dark Elf ran down the side to blitz my ball. Left his Dark Elf in a surfing position. I thought it'd be really rude for me to not do it, so obviously I did. And the ball then bounced to my the near the sweet spot in my half, and he fortunately wasn't able to get anyone there alive to recover it, so I did and got a bit of luck and won that 1-2-1.
Well done. Good stuff. That's 2 wins for you in after 2 games.
It was, yeah. Which was 2 more than I was expecting with Black Orcs at that point. I take them off the list.
My round 2 game was a Goblin Mirror match versus Friend of the Podcast, Greenskin Phil, who's not called Phil, really, but you know, there we are. Greenskin Phil is running Goblins. He had a very, very similar build to me. I think his Pogoer had plus edge and block, whilst my Pogoer had plus edge and sprint. I had the Godful Star Player Bomber, the Maud Arusbius, who throws his pies with Hail Mary pass, so I camped in by my end zone, and basically every turn had a fireball, which went up the pitch, and turn one, I killed his Pogoer. would be nice.
That's handy.
Yeah, then I drove up the pitch and made a mistake. And it's miscounted or misplayed some way so that his chainsaw could quite easily just run over with a 2-bow for it and drop my pogoer into little bitty tiny pieces, which he did. And then that was my offensive drive done. Then it just fell apart. He stole the ball, marched down in a little nine goblin cage down the pitch with me diving in, doing little blitzes and anything I could. But it was not to be. And my goblins got a good kicking as they deserved. And we lost 2-0 that game, but it was thoroughly good fun. It was Greenskin Phil's second goblin game off the day, but not his last.
No, he ended up playing 3 goblin mirror matches that day, which I'm sure doesn't happen very often.
There has to be some kind of record.
Yeah. So on to game 3.
I think the unity is more important. So I'm on one draw, one loss with my goblins, and I come up against a lovely guy called Tank 15. My first time playing him, even though we've chatted many times over various years at tournaments.
I've played him a couple of times. He's a lovely guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you just done the London Marathon? So congratulations to him.
He must have been tired.
Absolutely. His character had a Minotaur and some warriors. I think he had block and claw on the Minotaur and 2 warriors. Just block on the other warriors, and I can't remember. Well, maybe extra arms or sure hands on the beastmen. It didn't really matter because my goblins were quite angry, and we did like 9 casualties. Turn 1, his Minotaur blitzed on my troll and hurt him. He regenerated, but upset the entire team. We ain't having that, they said. So we went over, we knocked the Minotaur over, and we fouled him into the KO box. He stayed in that KO box until turn 15. And he came back on the pitch. My goblin said, "Right, we're having you, Sunshine." And they killed him. It finished 3-0 to the goblin. And it was just utter nonsense, frankly. But I think at one point he had 3 people on the pitch, maybe 2. I didn't quite get the pitch clear. But yeah, it was fun. And my opponent took it in very, very good spirits. So that was nice.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like I said, with my my first game against Seeky, he was very, very happy to, in a way, to be pitch clear. Like he was encouraging me at the end, which is what you want in an opponent, really. And I'd like to think that I would be the same as well. But I guess sometimes I can be a little bit grumpy about it.
Well, we all can be on occasion.
Yeah.
So how's your last game, Stuart? Two wins going into the final round.
Yeah. I was drawn against a guy called CT, who I think his actual name is Chris. And I didn't know a lot about him, but I know that Pete Hisselives played him at NAFC last year and said it was a very tough game. So obviously I was expecting something similar. He was playing Chaos Dwarves, who are one of the races that I least like to play against, because I don't really know how to do it. And I went 1-0 up on my drive. I did get a couple of good early casualties on his dwarves, which definitely helped me out. So I went 1-0 up at the end of the first half, and then. And he was basically about to score to equalise middle of the second half, and snake-eyed a rush, which allowed me to recover the ball and then eventually run up the pitch and get a second. But had he not done so, it was 1-1, and then it's a game to play for. But that basically that Snake Eyes turn the game in my favour, which obviously happens one every 36 times, but you know, it's not really skill on my part, just dumb luck. But I guess you have to capitalise on that when it happens.
Yeah, of course you do. Do you think he was going for the rush to score in the attempt to win the game? Give him more time to calm down and to win.
Yeah, I didn't chat to him about it, but that would be my guess. He obviously wasn't looking to stall out, and I don't think I had enough pressure on to force him to score at that point. But yeah, that's my assumption. And if I bump into him at NAFC, I might have a chat with him about it, as long as it's not going to be a sore point for him. I end up winning all three of my games. And the same happened for another friend of the podcast, Talk Marder, Carl, who was playing High Elves. And we weren't really sure what the tiebreakers were. And we didn't even know if anyone else had also won all three games. So we were waiting to see. And it turns out that I just about pipped him on tiebreakers to win the whole event, which I was really not expecting with Black Orc. And it was a very nice surprise. I'm not sure if I like playing them, but I enjoyed the day, and the prize for winning the event is a ticket to Thrive Ball, which I had not got a ticket for because it falls on my wife's birthday. So I came home and explained to her what I'd won. I was like, it's okay, I can, you know, I don't have to go. But she has insisted that I go, so that's quite nice of her. And I think you're going to lend me your slant team.
I'm more than happy to lend you my slant, absolutely.
So that I can take them off the list. It's a lovely day. The people who go to Thrud and obviously Clay Bowl are lovely Blood Bowl people. So it's nice to hang out and chat with a few of them, especially a few people that I hadn't probably chatted to before.
Yes, I also spoke to people I've seen many times but not really had reason or opportunity to go and chat to, so that was really nice. I also won an award on the day, not quite as good as walking away with the prize, but I got the lunch money award for first submitted roster. So that was actually handed. Lunch money. So yeah, that's now sitting in my hobby room. So we're proud of that.
Cool.
That was good.
Yeah, celebrating Mackie D's on the way home as well. Then the final event that we've been to was last weekend when myself and Chris went to Addlesden for the second event in the Southeast Tournament Series. And I believe you took humans, is that right, Chris?
I did, yeah. Shall I run through very quickly my results of the day? It wasn't the best day in the world for my human team. But So I took humans. I was kind of trying to be a little bit cheeky because I took a reroll and I took two desperate measures, which kind of left me with five linemen, a blitzer and a catcher. Little did I know at this point that this was not going to work out very well for the day. But yes, so game. Yeah. 2-1 loss, unfortunately. Desperate measures, I ended up with the banana skin, which did help, but the failed wizard. Oh, I should explain, really. For the event, actually, we all got a wizard. So we could have a wizard. It was a chaos sorcerer, I think. Or a chaos wizard. So yeah, we could get a... Yeah, so we could get a Thunderbolt, so a 3+ to knock a player down, or you could get a Chaos Mutations, wasn't it? I think you could get a chosen player, you could get on a 2+, I think that was. You could get two chosen mutations for the drive, I think it was.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, cool. Difficult. So when 1-0 up in that one, scored early to try and avoid the wizard. But then Rob managed to get the very quick score with lots of dice he had to roll. But anyway, it's elves, so they're good at that sort of thing. I managed to get the 1-1 at the end of the first half, and then the second half he sort of withdrew into towards his own line. So I sort of had to try and chase him down. My wizard failed, not for the first time of the day, to do the Thunderbolt. And so then he then managed to dance around me and then danced away for the 2-1 win. So that was fun game. I've not played Rob before, actually. So that was fun. Seen him around a lot. Not played him, so that was good. Mm-hmm. Round two was against Coach Kev, and he had humans. He also had two desperate measures. So it's a bit of a desperate measure off. And then for this round as well, we'd rolled, I think it was double ones on the weather table, which was a special weather table where I think it was Corn Fury or Corn's Fury, which is two players got +1 strength, two random players got +1 strength and also frenzy. So that made it very interesting. I think we had that for about 3/4 of the game, so that made it a very interesting interesting game. Long story short, I suppose his desperate measures came in when he needed them, the banana skin and the sort of the auto pass desperate measure. So he took that one 1-0, and again my wizard failed. Which is okay. That was good fun. Round three was against Undead, and that was Rig Bog Boy, who was relatively new to Blood Bowl. I think it's his first tournament, I think. Certainly his first few games or something. He played a few practice games.
I think I signed him up just before the event. So, yeah, I imagine it's his first tournament.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. It was a good game. He sort of knew what he was doing. On with that. It was ended 1-1. I think we ended up both forgetting about our wizards, which is not unusual for me. So I've not really been doing much all tournament anyway. So I think I forgot about it. I think I scored first, and then he managed to score right towards the end. To equalize, would have been really good to use a wizard at a certain point in there to try and knock the ball carry down, but I forgot, so there we go. So can't really blame the wizard for that one. That was 1-1, so that was a good fun game. The fourth game was against Mrs. Fez, Laura. She had a lovely wood elf team.
Very really sparkly, brightly weren't they?
Very sparkly, glitters all over the bases, which really quite clever actually, because it was sort of using different colored glitter to sort of emphasize the positional. So I think the war dancers were sort of blue, and then the sort of the other linemen were sort of pink. So but looked really effective, and it was really fun game. This one was really just end to end of us, both of us, just two turns sort of scoring kind of thing. The second wizard. It's a part of the desperate measures, which is the sort of fireball or the zap spell. Totally forgot about them, to be honest. And to be honest, we were just more interested in just going back and forth and scoring. So that one ended 2-2. So that was a fun one. And then Rianne, I think it is, from Scav, I think. With her Skaven. And again, that was quite a similar game, really. It was sort of end-to-end, back and forth. This time I did remember my wizards. I did get a second wizard as well in this one, which I did use. She got a blitz action and managed to get a gutter runner on the ball and sort of mini caged, fireball the cage immediately. So it ended up sort of back and forth. Again, my main wizard failed to do anything. I rolled a one, but right at the very end, a auto pass saved me on my desperate measures. I think I had to do a push block, two rushes to get my receiver in the end zone, then a dodge, then a pickup on a 4, and then the auto pass or desperate measure to eke out the draw 2-2. So yeah, really, really fun games, really quick games. The desperate measures thing was very sort of hit and miss, I sort of found. I found most of the tournament, I was generally down players. Lots of them, I was sort of five or six players in the second half, not having a bench. And with the wizard as well, it sort of really did mean you were generally scrabbling around trying to do desperate dodges here and there, trying to get anywhere near the ball carriers and sort of put up any kind of defense. So probably if I was redoing the team, I probably would go for more players, less shenanigans, maybe probably take out the reroll and put positionals, sort of thrower and that type of thing in the team. I think it's probably a little bit more useful. But it was certainly fun. And the addition of the wizard and that certainly did put you on the edge of the seat, I suppose, throughout all of the game. Mm-hmm. Storning was much more of a stress than it normally would be. Anyway, yeah, so that was me. So yeah, so it was two losses and three draws, which was put me near the bottom, but it was still a really, really fun event, which was really cool. How about you, Stu? How did you get on?
So, sort of picking up on what you said, the wizard, I think they introduced a nice cat and mouse dynamic to it. Like, whoever uses the wizard first probably knows that they're going to get retaliated on straight away. But it was fun. I used it for the fireball every time, although a couple of my opponents used it for the mutations. So I took Chaos Chosen with a Minotaur, two blockers, and four Beastmen, with block on the Mino, block on a Warrior, and Sure Hands on a Beastman, to try and fulfill my lifelong ambition of becoming the world number one Chaos Chosen Sevens player, which is an extremely niche ambition, but I am very slightly closer now than I was previously. So I played against Simon, who's Armacy, who took halflings but didn't realize you could take a Master Chef and still rerolls even if your opponent didn't have any. So he had a couple of desperate measures that he rolled, probably the two worst ones. I forget exactly what they were, but he ended up not using them. I squished a lot of halflings and ended up winning it 1-0. We did have fun weather. We rolled 12, which was Crimson Downpour. So it made rushes more difficult. And it also meant that if you pushed anyone, you rolled a d6, and on a 1 they were knocked out, which happened to two poor halflings quite early on. So the odds were very much, the dice were very much in my favour for that game. In my second one, I played against Bondi, who's Chris, who finished fifth at the Kent Team Championship. So he's obviously a pretty decent player, although he's only been playing a year and a half, something like that, he was saying. And he had vampires, and they vamped me to death. I'm scared of them doing it to me. And he managed to keep hypnotising me and stealing my ball. And he won that one 2-1. After lunch, I was drawn against Miss Beltree's Goblins. And it was nice to play against Nikki. She had the dice in this game. So my roster basically struggles as soon as you... She easily won that one 2-0. My fourth game was against Coach Kev, who you also played. And I was very much helped by the fact that he realised he wasn't going to do finish high up in the positions at this point. And so he went for the spot prize and fouled me as soon as he could and got one of his players sent off. And then I was able to take advantage of that and ended up winning 2-1, although he got very unlucky with a score to equalise in the first half. And then finally I was up against some more halflings. So played against three Stunty teams, and this time it was quite a slow-moving game, but I basically stole the ball, went 1-0 up, and then on my drive, I got a high kick, and I think I got it maybe one or two times during the day, and my thought is that I'm going to put the Minotaur under the ball, because I don't want him to catch it, I just want him nearer the opposition to hit people, and I thought because it was on his line it would go out. It didn't. It ended up on his line. It became quite difficult for me to get. He then stole it but didn't manage to get away and score. So I won that 1-0. So ended up with 3 wins and 2 losses. But as you say, Chris, it was a very enjoyable day. Nick, Kendall, Sean, hadn't put on an event before. I think it all went pretty smoothly. And hopefully he'll be doing another one in the future. Yeah, the event was the event was won by Luke Total Fuzzy Logic, who also came along and won your sevens event. So he's won 2 on the trot. But he did have a bit of a cheeky orc build with a reroll and a leader. So I did tut at him basically every time I saw him during the day, because it's just not cricket. So those are all the events that we've been to. The next event in the Southeast Tournament Series is coming up on the 18th of May, which is in Oxford. I'm not entirely sure who's going to that one, but I will be. I think maybe a couple of other people from SCAB and I know some Brighton crew are going. I guess other news is that the Kent Team Championship for 2025 goes on sale on Monday, which is the 29th. And you wrote the rules pack, which we shared recently, Ollie. Do you want to talk through that at all?
I wrote it a while ago. I don't have it in front of me, but I can give you my thoughts, which as best as I can recall them. There's a 4-player event, and you each have to take a different race. The races are all tiered. You have a certain number of squad points available to you as a foursome to buy your teams. You can't afford 4 tier 1 teams. So the custom has to be a bit of give and take, and I tried to build in a mechanism to stop star player abuse, but still allow star players to be used. They took one of the mega star players, for example. It's only really the bottom tier teams that can afford them. You have to give up skill points to take them. In addition to their cost. So, off the top of my head, it was 8 skill points to take more, for example. Only you could do it, you would have nothing else in your team. And, you know, do you want to make that sacrifice or not? And do the rest of your want to make that sacrifice? It would be really interesting to see how people try and break the rule set, as we will try and do. Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. It's going to be a cracking weekend early next year.
Yep, so it's 15th and 16th of March next year. So it's a 2-day event with 3 games on each day. And the tickets go on sale this coming Monday, the 29th. And it's £200 for a team. It'll be at the Canterbury Cricket Ground again, with lunches provided each day. I think that's about it. Any more information that you need will be on Talk Fantasy Football or the South East Blood Bowl Discord or the NAF website. You should be able to find that everywhere. We have a nice PDF rules pack this year, which Jez Pagan Agent kindly did for us. So it looks quite snazzy. Any questions or anything, then you can get in touch.
the Discord is probably the quickest way to get an answer to any questions you have. There's, you know, things like my phone to take away, basically. Which is nice. We have a lot of, well, we have to. Names are in the rule pack, and they're going to be in tier, not going to be in the same tier as the other Santees, because we don't quite know where they sit. I suspect they will end up there, but at the moment we've put them in with Black Hawks, Chaos Chosen, kind of bracket of player of Team Die. So we've got some data on the little bearded buggers.
So have either of you got any experience of gnomes so far?
Not at all.
Sorry, I was just going to say, sorry, on the gnomes front, we did have a very late gnome team join the Bromley Cup competition. So they had their first game.
Oh, nice.
First game last night, which they did win. It was a 1-0 win. I wasn't there to witness it, but we had a bit of a sort of report from the gnome coach, because we're all quite interested. They were sort of generally saying that they were fine, generally holding their own. Taking two dice uphill was more prevalent than sort of dodging, because they didn't have any dodge anywhere. So using the wrestle in that sort of thing. I think the fox was the star of the show. They probably thought, you know, the coach was sort of saying that, oh, maybe next time they might be a bit more aggressive with the Beastmasters and things like that, positioning and things like that. I think they were being generally quite cautious with them. So probably first game, probably can't make too many conclusions about it. But yeah, they certainly said the fox was it's very good, very useful. So yeah, we shall see though.
I had I jumped on Fumble the other day and played a gnome game against another gnome team. So it was actually against Isaac, who's in the DBL, I think. And I played him at your last Bromley event. Bromley last 11's event, and it was quite fun. His gnomes outbashed my gnomes, but the illusionist was interesting, I thought, because if you decide you're going to hit an illusionist, they can just pop somewhere else, and what you thought was a two dice block turns into a one dice block. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out when people get really used to it. Whether they just don't hit them or surround them or something.
I think it'll be really interesting once they get dodge and sidestep. I think you can do all sorts of shenanigans with them then. I'm looking forward to playing against them. I have no desire to play with them at the moment, but I'm sure I will at some point. But I'm looking forward to killing them.
Cool. I know Damo's playing them in our next season. He's already registered his team and everything. So, he's a pretty good player. So, yeah, be good to see how it goes. I'll just quickly run through some upcoming events and leagues, and then we can have a chat about an event that I think we're all going to. So, this Saturday, the 27th, is Dark Fire Bowl, which is in St Albans, being run by Chicken 23. I don't know what happened to the other 22 chickens, but the one we have now is quite a nice guy. It's his first event, and I believe there may be a space available because of a dropout. So if you hear this before then, which might be unlikely, but you're interested in playing, then give him a shout. And there's also an event in Ipswich the same day, which is the Ipswich Classic. And then coming up later in May, the 18th is Sob Sevens, which is the Southeast Tournament Series event. And then the following day is Barton Bowl 3, which is a pairs event. I was looking at the possibility of getting to both, but I think I'll probably wouldn't be needed on charge duties that day. And then the following weekend, the 25th, is the next Bucks Open, which Mr. Andy Davo won last this last time this month with a very similar undead build to the one that you took, Ollie.
For two block mummies, yeah, because why wouldn't you, potentially?
Yeah, I think he just keeps copying you. It's clearly where he gets all his ideas from.
Well, let's just say my lawyers are looking at it.
cool, but the next event that I think we're all going to is the NAF Championships, which is about 8 days away now.
Very excited for it, yes.
Yeah, for me, the NAF Championships is just like the Blood Bowl event. So it's the first big event that I went to, and we went to Bugman's the night before for the Sevens event, which I didn't get to play in due to my boss not allowing me the whole day off. And I'm not bitter about it 4 years later. So that's good.
You are now your own boss, so.
Exactly. I'm going to give myself the week off to get excited. But like just going to Warhammer World and just seeing it is just like, wow, this is the place. This is where, you know, it feels important. So I'm very, very excited. Do you want to talk about what what we're all taking?
Yes, please. That'd be fun. Let's talk about the Friday night first, because are running the NAF Championship Sevens event. It's done to raise money for the Blood Bowl charities, which are Mind and the Roycastle Lung Cancer charities. We've got about 32 players at the moment. There's still spaces. So if you hear this before, please come along and play. It'll be only £5 to play, and all the profits go to charity, basically. I've done a slightly different seven ball set to previous ones, in that I've tiered all the races. And I've based that upon Mike Davies's Pablo data for sevens, and fluffed it on my own knowledge of sevens, and come out where we've come out. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Hopefully no one takes Orcs with a leader and a
Meryl,
because that would be severely tut-worthy.
Well, I think you've asked me to be the spare player, so my duty will be just to go around tutting at everyone who has a re-roll. That could be my thing for the evening.
Possibly an eye roll as well.
I'll get practice in. The important thing I think you want to mention is that if you're coming along, get your team registered on Tour Play.
Yes, absolutely. I have set a deadline of Monday, the 29th of April, for registrations. I will accept late registrations as it's for charity, but I'd rather not. That's the best way to phrase it, really. There we are. If you have paid to put your team on Tour Play, if you've got your team on Tour Play and haven't paid, please pay. There we are. So let's get on to the main event itself. What are you guys taking to the NAF Championships? Stuart, what are you taking?
I'm taking some Wood Elves. So I've been playing them this season in our league. Quite like them. Sort of getting the hang of them. So I've not taken them to a tournament yet. So this will tick them off the list. And I think be like 16, 17 races I've done, something like that. So I've got testing my memory now. Did I? Oh, sorry. So I've got a war dance with a strip ball, war dance with tackle, a sidestep catcher to try and do one turners and then fail. I've got two dodge on linemen, probably a leader thrower, and a couple of rerolls and an apothecary, I think. So be interesting to see how it goes. My experience is that the tree will root and become useless on turn one of every game. Hopefully, playing six games, that should only happen once, but we will see.
Mm-hmm. In the couple of practice games you and I have had together, the tree has had zero impact upon the game.
Yeah.
Which I think is fair to say. And, which is, so the amount he cost your team is disappointing for you, but not for me.
Exactly. So what about you two? What are you taking?
Do you want to say your build?
Yeah, sure. So I'm taking Imperial Nobility. Again, they're doing some issue, just trying to tick off the list of all the different teams. So I've got an ogre with block, a thrower with leader, a couple of bodyguards with guard, one with tackle, and then two dodge blitzers and a bunch of linemen, and two rerolls. So not expecting too much, really. It's all very sort of bog standard. I've used the Imperial Nobility a little bit. I generally find they generally downplay us quite a lot. The linemen tend to walk off quite quickly. But the bodyguards are great, and the blitzers are great. So, and hopefully if the ogre does well, then you never know, I might be able to get the odd win or two if I'm lucky. But the main obstacle I've got is the team is not yet painted. I've got 13 players literally sat on my desk at the moment staring at me while I'm painting. So I've got a very busy week coming. Yeah.
Okay. You've got nine days left, right? I do have a painted team you can put if you don't make it. You did win the Bromley League with them, though, didn't you?
I did, but I mean, there's a little bit of an asterisk next to that one simply because that was due to Morg triple sculling twice. for Dave, half brain in his.
Well, it serves him right for taking Morg in the first place, doesn't it?
Well, there you go,
100%, yes. I find an ability very hard to play against because until you start getting rid of the buggers, their pitch control to stand firm and defend makes it very difficult to move.
If they all stay alive, you've got a full 11 on the pitch for a significant amount of
time. I find wherever I use them, by the second half, I'm running out of players.
Yeah, absolutely. So, how about you, Ollie? What are you taking?
I am taking Kane's Blades, a Dark Elf team. It's not quite a standard build. I have four blitzers, two with dodge, one with tackle, on one naked. Two witch elves, one block, one wrestle. An assassin with dodge. Four linemen, two rerolls, and an apothecary, and a coach. And I didn't want to play just, dodge spam across the team. I wanted to try something different. So that's what I'm doing. I think the assassins will be useful. They're slightly better in some ways than they used to be. So, we'll see. Well, I'm not going into it. Well, I'd like to win four games would be my goal. So, we'll see.
I think assassins are one of those players which sort of make your opponent play differently and probably sticks in their minds and maybe makes them do things that play into your hands a little bit.
Definitely. You played against, I think it's Alistair, one of the guys who does the Scottish Blood Bowl podcast. Undead, and he had Dark Elves with an assassin, and he kept stabbing any player, a mummy, or a white, whatever, who was standing next to the assassin, he stabbed it. And eventually, just by law support ability, he's breaking armor. So he stabbed a mummy, and the mummy got stunned. And, for heaven's sake, that shouldn't happen. But there we are. So they are useful players. It'll be fun. It's another moving 7 player on the team, which is nice. It's another moving armor 8 plus player, which isn't nice, but we'll see. But I can't play stunties all day, all week, weekend.
Definitely. Well, I'll have a word with Dan and see if he can put that into the fixture computer for you.
If you wouldn't mind, that'd be fab.
Yeah, no worries. So there's a couple of leagues starting up that I was forgot to mention, actually. There's the Salt Bowl is starting probably this weekend, if not before. I don't know if there's any spaces left for that. If you're interested, Salty Mercury's the man to talk to. The Southampton League called Scrub started or starting. I don't know if you've missed that one. Hexbaron is the person to speak to about that. The Reading League, which is called Trouble, which is run by Torquemada and Manny, is starting in a couple of days. So again, it's one of those things that if you're quick enough, you might be able to get in on. And then there's a Bedford League starting in the middle of May. So if you're interested in any of those, the details will be all on the Southeast Blood Bowl Discord server. But now it's time for a not hastily at all prepared quiz. Are you both ready?
Do I need anything? A pen or?
You need your brain, and that is all.
Tell me in advance, I would need my brain. And come on.
Okay. This is a classic game of higher or lower. So I've taken the stats from the NAF Championships that Mike Davies tableau. So I've got one of these for races and one for skills. We'll see how long it takes, but we may maybe have time for both. Basically, I've got a list of all the races, chopped off the top five and bottom five, and then you're going to play higher and lower with the rest of them. So we will alternate. So I don't have a coin or anything. Chris, as your name is nearer to the start of the alphabet, you'll go first. Basically, I'm going to give you a race, tell you how many people are taking them, and you have to go higher or lower, and then Ollie will do the next one, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, sounds good.
So there are seven Norse coaches. Do you think Nurgle are higher or lower?
Lower.
That is incorrect. There are eight Nurgle coaches.
Oh, Ollie. Yes.
Ollie, goblins. Higher or lower than higher is correct. There are nine goblin coaches.
Only nine. Wow.
I know. Chris, ogres. Higher or lower than nine goblin coaches?
Lower.
Lower is correct. There are seven ogre coaches. Ollie, vampires. Higher or lower than seven ogre coaches?
Higher.
That is incorrect. There are six vampire coaches.
Wow. Okay.
Chris. Yourself and your fellow Imperial Nobles coaches, higher or lower than six vampires?
I'm going lower.
Lower is correct. There are four of you.
Wow.
Ollie.
Yes.
High elves, higher or lower than four noble coaches? Ooh.
Lower
is correct. There are only three.
Yeah.
Wow. Chris, Chaos Dwarfs, higher or lower than three High Elves?
Higher, surely.
Higher is correct. There are nine of them. Same as Goblins. Ollie,
yeah.
Amazons, higher or lower than nine Chaos Dwarf coaches?
Higher,
a lot higher. There are 16. Chris, Snotlings, higher or lower than 16 Amazon? Silence. My internet is probably
lower
is correct. There are four. These were all just done in a random order. I haven't curated this list in any way. Ollie, Korn, higher or lower than four Snotling coaches?
Ryan. Ryan.
Higher is correct. There are seven. Chris, black orcs, higher or lower than seven corn coaches?
Ooh. Lower.
Lower is correct. There are six. Ollie, necromantic horror.
Higher
or lower? Higher is correct.
Higher.
They are 18. Chris, Old World Alliance. Higher or lower than 18 necro?
Lower.
Yep. Lower, 5.
No.
Ollie, Wood Elf. Higher or lower than 50, than 5?
Well, first of all, we're kind of quite hard. Would take Wood Elves in the first place.
Some sort of loser.
Higher.
Higher. Higher is correct. There are 15. Chris, dwarfs, higher or lower than 15 Wood Elf coaches?
Ooh. I hope it's lower. I really hope it's a lot lower.
I want it to be lower as well, but I think it's higher.
You think it's going to be higher? Oh, that is wrong. It's lower. There are 8 of them. Ollie, halflings, higher or lower than 8 dwarf coaches?
Higher. Fling nation. Nonsense.
So do you say Fling higher?
Down. I'm saying higher. I'm saying there are more halflings. Higher. Yeah.
Is incorrect. There are only 5 halfling coaches. Really? They banned Griff this year. Yeah.
Right. You don't need halflings.
Well, I did. Okay. Chris, Underworld Denizens, higher or lower than 5 halfling coaches?
Higher.
Higher is correct. There are 9 of them. Ollie, humans, higher or lower than 9 Underworld Denizens?
Higher.
Higher is correct. There are 10.
Ooh.
And that leaves you 7 apiece. So it's a very sporting draw. Would you like to say, we'll skip the... Sorry?
So you pick out the top and bottom 5, did you say?
Yeah. Got rid of Dark Elves and Undead and that sort of thing. To make it more interesting. But there we go. But between you got 14 out of 19, out of 18. So, yeah. Cool. We'll skip the skills one and maybe save that for another day.
It's an honourable draw.
Exactly. Hopefully you'll get to play each other NAFC to settle the score.
That would be nice. Well, I don't think we've played. So that would be lovely.
No, I don't think we have we? Yeah, no, it'd be good.
Cool. Right. Well, that sort of brings us to the end of everything we were going to chat about. Was there anything else that either you'd like to mention?
No. I very much look forward to the next championship. If you see any questions, please come and say hello and tell us how we love the podcast. Buy us beer, shower us gifts, you know, normal stuff. Apart from that, keep playing Blood Bowl, having fun, enjoying life.
I second that. Yeah, if you see any of us around, I'm white hot on the NAF, so see me with the Bromley shirt on, or any of us, just come over and say hello.
Good to catch up with you both, and looking forward to seeing both in person in a week or so's time.